Thank you for downloading 21st Century Mythologies from BBC Radio 4. Myth, Bart warned, begins its work of social conditioning early. In an essay on toys, he noted that the playthings sold in France treated children as dwarfish adults, whose games trained them for the functions they were expected to fulfil in the stratified, sexually separatist world of their bourgeois parents. Boys began their professional apprenticeship by experimenting with chemistry sets and medical kits, or learned the tricks of less exalted masculine trades from model trains and petrol stations. Little girls rehearsed for their future roles by bathing, dressing, and perming the hair of their dolls, issued to them as parthenogenetic babies. Toys like these, Bart said, made childhood a drearily utilitarian microcosm of the adult world. His theory is complicated by a recent fad. What about toy dogs, carried in handbags by ditzy female celebrities? What kind of genetic charade is it that muddles up the different realms of childhood play and adult responsibility, as well as toppling the proper boundaries between human and animal? The figurines Bart wrote about were homunculi, costumed for work, soldiers in uniform, nurses or beauticians in smocks. But the breeds of dog, photographed on red carpets, cannot be mistaken for tiny people. In fact, their species is sometimes questionable. The ditzy heiress Paris Hilton collects chihuahuas that look like wingless, bug-eyed bats, and Pomeranians that resemble balls of fluff afflicted with hysterics. The capricious pop diva Mariah Carey has an entourage of more recognisably canine Jack Russells, though unlike most dogs, they have a full-time chauffeur who ferries them between stylists, groomers and therapists. Not left to expend surplus energy in enviously pointless play, they are forcibly inducted into their owner's routine of self-improving workouts and preening public appearances. Mariah's dogs, she once tweeted, live on private jets. Like toys that have leapt into yelping, skittering life, these bratty pets are no longer merely animals, yet they're not ornery humans either, like dogs that dutifully sniff for drugs at airports or steer blind people through the streets. Paris and Mariah are unique specimens, not members of a species, proud self-creations, even if in the case of Paris, a dynastic heritage underwrites a life of self-indulgence. The dogs they have adopted as their offspring have to be equally peculiar, individualized as oddities or oddments. Many of us moralise or allegorise our dogs. Fond, familiar names like Buddy or Fido make them embodiments of virtue. American presidents traditionally install a pet in the White House to signify that it's a family home, not an executive bunker. And they expect it, too, to embody national values. Gerald Ford's golden retriever was named Liberty, and Reagan had a dog of the same breed called Victory. Exercising them must have been like taking an aircraft carrier out for a walk. For Paris and Mariah, however, christening is not generic, nor does it hand out merit badges. Paris bestows names as if sprinkling stardust from a magic wand. Her most famous chihuahua was called Tinkerbell, which suggests a pedigree stretching back to gauzy fairyland. Another dog called Ariel has the same provenance. One of her Pomeranians was called Mr. Amazing when she acquired him, but she changed that demotic name to Prince Hilton. She entitled another Pomeranian Prince Baby Bear, which confusingly elevated him to the hereditary aristocracy while exiling him to an altogether different, gruffer and shaggier species. A third nursling, more fashion-conscious and street-smart, was known as Harajuku Bitch. Its first name refers to Tokyo's version of Carnaby Street. The second is a slangy endearment from the American ghetto. Can there be room inside the tiny cranium of a chihuahua for a teenage fashion victim and a gangster mole to cohabit? Paris has also commodified her pets. Two more dogs are labelled Dolce and Prada, which makes them accessories like the handbags in which they travel. Eventually, this silliness becomes spooky, uncanny. The dogs may be what Philip Pullman calls demons, making manifest Paris's small but expensive soul. In Mexican folklore, chihuahuas were supposed to be psychopomps, guiding the spirit into the afterlife, as jackals did in ancient Egypt. So perhaps she's practicing for her descent into a glittery grave. Dogs have shorter lives than we do. The lifespan of celebrities, consigned to oblivion as soon as we tire of them, is even shorter. Mariah Carey's litter consists of Dickensian eccentrics, separated from the common herd by middle initials and flattered by ceremonious forms of address. Jill E. Beans and Squeak E. Beans, Pippity Jackson and Muttley O. Gore Jackson III. The good Reverend Powell Jackson is the first Jack Russell on record to have received holy orders and taken a vow to minister to mankind, presumably by licking. Sometimes Mariah's fans are invited to suggest names, and one recent arrival risked being called Bo T. Full, though Mariah wisely decided against it. After so much inventive drollery, it's starting to discover that Mariah's first Jack Russell was simply called Jack. Couldn't she have tried harder? Or did the tautologous name admit the absurdity of the whole business? One takes refuge in tautology, said Bart, as one does in fear or anger or sadness. One kills language because it betrays one. Tautology is a feint at the right moment. It is a death, or perhaps a comedy. The choice is grim. Between dismissively assigning a dog a name that is no more personal than a number, and endowing it with a fanciful title that derides it for being merely a dog, and instead transforms it into an attendant, a flunky, a court jester. Our special friendship with dogs is one of civilization's mysteries. Somehow we managed to charm a primal wolf into trusting us, taking food from our hands and then snuggling up to us. A godlike power of genetic manipulation has enabled us to produce an uncountable variety of breeds from that common ancestor. With dogs, we can enjoy relationships that are truly egalitarian. They judge us by the way we smell, not by our position in the world or our income. The Queen's corgis don't bow or curtsy to her, nor is Bo, the Portuguese water dog, impressed by Obama's power as commander-in-chief. Yet this unbiological kinship is now reaching its perverse terminus. Evolution has gone backwards, and the self-centred despotic infant, described by Freud as His Majesty the Child, has been replaced by Prince or Princess Puppy, liable to have a barking fit if not promptly fed and watered or kissed, cuddled and papped. It worried Bart that the adult Frenchman sees the child as another self. It's a good deal more bizarre for an adult American woman to see a chihuahua or a posh pom in that way. But Paris and Mariah have no intention of renouncing the solipsism of infancy, and they envy the permanent childhood in which their querulous babies frolic. Evidence of maturity, moral or physical, is immediately punished. Paris got rid of Tinkerbell when the dog became too big for a handbag. Pomeranians suit this regressive fantasy because their history reverses the law of organic growth. During the 19th century, inbreeding caused the average size of poms to decrease by half, as if they were being forcibly compressed. Paris has constructed what she calls a mini doggy mansion for her menagerie, a scaled-down replica of her own house, with wardrobes for the gem-encrusted outfits worn by her dogs, and a spiral staircase, up and down which they can parade if their brittle little legs permit it. A chandelier shines its spangled light on them, and they sleep in cots designed by Chewy Vuitton. Mariah's canine regime emphasizes health and beauty, not luxurious stay-at-home pampering. She sends her pets to a spa called Barkingham Palace, where they are treated to body wraps, blueberry facials, Thai massages, and a tender squeezing of their anal glands, which ensures that their bowel movements will be friction-free. Thanks to such meaningless perks and privileges, toy dogs can express contempt for the less fortunate majority of mankind. Paris and Mariah are following the lead of Leona Helmsley, the widow of a billionaire New York hotelier, who defrauded her relatives by leaving $12 million to Trouble, her adored Maltese. Leona was a notorious harridan who tyrannised and persecuted her staff. She disdained any notion of an obligation to others and once remarked that paying taxes was something for little people. More than a love token, her bequest to Trouble was an ultimate act of misanthropy. The dog had a private suite in a Helmsley hotel in Florida, with security guards to protect her from being kidnapped. Trouble, by all accounts, was an inoffensive creature and eked out a miserably sickly old age before being transferred to the Helmsley family mausoleum. But her function was the same as that of the Staffordshire Bull Terriers or Rottweilers that strut down our meaner streets beside their thuggish owners and ventilate aggression through razory jaws. Typically named Terror, Killer or Asbo, these attack dogs are descendants of the Bull Terrier kept by Bill Sykes in Oliver Twist, which paddles in blood after Nancy's murder, and when Sykes dies, commits suicide by dashing out its deranged brains on a stone. Dogs like this are not man's best friend. Their purpose is to demonstrate our disaffection from the human race, or our lethal dislike of it. We might take pride in having coaxed another species across the border from wildness to domesticity, but instead, whether in Beverly Hills or on a South London council estate, we use animals as alter egos and yearn to be driven like them by instinct and appetite. It doesn't matter if the dogs have Instagram accounts like Paris's Brood or are manicured and blow-dried like Mariah's. Their table manners are gross, and they sniff the sphincters of others when they first meet, rather than shaking hands. Despite such crudities, the snobbery of the leisure class and the rankling resentment of the underclass here reach an accord. With chihuahuas frenetically yapping on one side and bull terriers gutturally rumbling on the other, we are still stranded somewhere between the nursery and the jungle. There are other 21st century mythologies in this series, or plenty of other BBC Radio 4 podcasts. Find out more at bbc.co.uk/radio4.